But Luke 18:14 says this: "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Isn't that a great verse? Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I think this is a great place for us to begin to go from here. And this morning, as we look at humility, I want us to be reminded that God blesses a person who walks in humility. We actually allow the Lord in to move in our ways. That can't happen unless we walk in humility. So today, we are going to look at what the Bible says. We're going to cover a lot of scripture. Now, what is humility? Now, I spoke on one message on the topic of humility this past summer. And I'm going to start with two quotes that I read from there, I said during that message. The first one's from Augustine, who lived from 300 to 400 AD, and he said this: "Humility is the soil from which all the virtues grow, and pride the soil that produces the vices." Andrew Murray, who lived from 1828 to 1970, said this. He said, "Humility is the only soil in which the virtues of grace may grow. The lack of humility is the sufficient explanation of every defect and failure. Humility is not so much a grace or a virtue along with others. It is the root of all, because it alone takes the right attitude before God and allows him as God to do all." Now, you might remember me saying this, and I've said it actually many times because I believe it covers a lot of different topics, but humility is not a fruit of the Spirit. Humility is the root of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If there is a lack of these things in our life, which is the fruit, we need to look to the root of things. So again, humility is the root of the Spirit that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you might have, has anyone heard of Jeff Foxworthy? All right, Jeff Foxworthy, comedian, he's a very funny person. He has a lot of jokes, if you will, and he always starts things out, "You might be a redneck if," right? You guys have heard that. Well, I'm going to go through a list of things and do something similar. They're not funny, though. I'm sorry. So I'm going to go through a list and say, instead of "you might be a redneck if," I'm going to go through a list that's of "you might be prideful if." Okay, now, before we get into these things, I don't want you to think of anyone but yourself. That's right. We're here to examine ourselves this morning. And really, just so you know, this should be everyone. I think I've caught everyone, including myself. We should all be challenged somewhat by these. But again, I encourage you, don't tune me out just if you become a little bit uncomfortable, okay? So you might be prideful if you have ever said, "I don't need your help." You might be prideful if you think you know the directions better than Google or Siri. And all the men said, "Amen." You might be prideful if you try to impress others with your possessions. You might be prideful if you don't like being told what to do. You might be prideful if you think your way is always the right way, the best way, and the only way. Oof. You might be prideful if you think you are more spiritual than others, or if you look down on those who are less educated, less affluent, less refined, or less successful than yourself. You might be prideful if you can't laugh at your mistakes. And I might add to that, or if you can't admit them. You might be prideful if you're anxious to see how many likes you receive on your social media post, or if you feel awkward about receiving gifts or someone paying your way, or if you don't tell people when you have a problem or a need. You might be prideful if you have a hard time admitting that you're wrong, or if you're critical of others, or you don't take time to read and feed upon the Word of God. If you're concerned about what others think of you, you participate in certain events for fear of embarrassing or looking foolish. You talk more than you listen. You struggle to give compliments to others. Or if you're driven to receive approval or affirmation from others. And lastly, you might be prideful if you think you know there is all to know about humility and don't need to hear this teaching. Next, I want to talk about the difference between pride, if you will, versus humility. And this brings us to point number one. I do have 3 points this morning. The first point is this: the root of pride is from Satan, and humility is exemplified by the life of Christ. Now, Satan was one of the top angels in heaven, and he was kicked out, and a third of the angels, they followed him, didn't they? Now, here is a description of Lucifer from Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" That's what Lucifer said. That's what was in his heart that caused him to fall. Now, I went into this a couple weeks ago, but the serpent, the snake, if you will, used the lie and pride to deceive Eve in the garden. What does deception mean? Satan, the snake, deceived Eve. Deception means cheating, trickery, duping, cunning, lying, swindling, binding, or blinding, or conning. Now, Genesis 3, verse 5 says, "For God knows that when you eat from it," this is the tree talking about in the Garden of Eden, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, their eyes certainly were opened afterwards, weren't they? And they knew both good and evil. It was the beginning of the fall of man. Now, pride is comparison. Now, Satan again says, "Don't you want to be like God?" There are all kinds of lies that the enemy tells us. I asked the question before, what's your apple? Is there something that in your life that you're believing, a lie that is stopping you from receiving from the Lord? And the world is full of this. I think of simply evolution versus creation. Truth needs to come to the surface. We need truth in the world. And more than ever, truth is hard to see. If you know Dave Ramsey, Dave Ramsey is one of the top financial gurus, I guess you could say, in the world. He's a Christian man. He has a course called Peace University, I believe. Financial Peace University. Thank you. And he says this: how many of us have purchased things we don't need with money that we don't have to impress people we don't know? Isn't that good? Now, why should we try to avoid pride? And I think the answer lies in this statement. And we're going to look at a lot of scripture about this. But Augustine said this: pride is the mother of all sins. That pride is pregnant with all kinds of sins. Now, what about Jesus? What was Jesus like on this earth? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5, we're actually going to read 1 to 9. It says this: therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That's what Jesus did. He humbled himself. Again, the root of pride is from Satan, and humility is exemplified by the life of Christ. Now, point number two, we're going to look at number two. Pride leads to destruction, but humility leads to promotion. We're going to cover a lot of scripture here. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And some of you here are just like, yes. That's not the way the verse reads, though. Matthew 23:12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So in one way, in other words, the way up is down, and the way down is up. It's not about self-promotion. God sees all, he knows all, and God is our boss. We work for him, amen? Every single little thing that you do that no one sees for the glory of God in the purpose of loving others, the Lord knows and he sees. He knows our hearts. James 4:6, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Psalm 18:27, in the New Living Translation, it says, you rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. Psalm 25:9, says he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Psalm 147, verse 6 says, the Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Proverbs 3:34, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. And this is one of my favorites from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Isn't that good? I want to read that one more time. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will what? I will heal their land. This starts with us. If we can't do it, how do we expect the world to do it? Like I've said many times, the church needs to lead the way. And the posture of our hearts will determine the effectiveness of God moving and working in our lives and through this church. You know what? Before we go any further, I think we need to bow in prayer right now. Okay, let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we are humbled by these scriptures that we just read. And Lord, we thank you that your word says that if we seek you, if we pray, if we turn our face towards you, if we turn from wicked ways, Lord, we will hear from you. That you are always speaking, you're always guiding, you're always wanting to work. And Lord, we come before you right now and ask you to forgive us of our sin. Forgive us when we judge another without knowing their heart, without knowing the story. Lord, I pray that you will bring unity to our hearts, to our land. Lord, we say that we are broken this morning, that we need you. And Lord, we bring before you our government. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would, that they would be humbled, that they would make decisions that are after you, that care for one another, that would be able to mend this land once again and unify people. We speak against division and we call unity amongst families, amongst friends, amongst this church, and amongst our country. And Lord, we say that we are going to walk in humility, that you would use each one of us to bring healing, for you to work through us. And we surrender our lives here right now in Jesus' name. And we declare in Jesus' name, thank you for healing our land. And everyone said, amen. Can I give you a few examples of people in the Bible who walked in humility? The first one is the example of Moses. In Numbers 12, verse 3, it says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." Now, do you know who wrote this? Moses. That's right. I once had a friend who did this. And he was just like, "I am the most humble person that I know." And I was shocked by that because not everyone saw it that way, I guess you could say. But Moses was able to write this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he actually was the most humble person on the face of the earth. And we can learn from him. Deuteronomy 34:10 in the New Living Translation says, "There has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Moses saw the Lord face to face. He talked with him. And sometimes we can look down on Moses because he didn't take the people into the promised land because of some failure. But we forget that he successfully led 3 million people out of bondage across the Red Sea. And he saw supernatural signs and wonders and miracles during his life. And how? Why? Only because of the Lord. Did he want to go back to Egypt? No way. But he did what the Lord called him to do. And it changed our nation today because of it. The next example I want to give is David. King Saul was removed because of his pride. And David was instituted as the new king, if you will, because of his heart for the Lord. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him.' The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? The heart." That's right. In Acts 13:22, after removing Saul, God made David their king. God testified concerning him. It says, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Isn't that incredible? He was placed in this position because of his humility. It was a heart issue for him and the Lord. So we need to surrender the Lord's will and purpose. And again, I believe many people have never arrived or achieved all that God has destined them to have because they've resisted to humbly follow the Lord. Doesn't matter how great a person is, a business is, a country becomes. It can be turned around like that because of pride. But humility can take us to greater heights than we ever thought and allow the Lord to move. It allows the Lord to move miraculously, to perform miracles. Now, I want to give you an example from the New Testament, which is Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10, it says, Paul says this, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me." So in other words, the more humble we are, the greater levels God can do through us. Why? Because our lives are founded upon the rock of Jesus. It's not based on our gifts or our talents or our abilities. That's why God calls the church to move forward. with humility, with grace. I don't know any leader here that claims to be perfect or do everything perfect. I know this as a leader. I'm not perfect. And this message is for all of us. Amen? So let's give grace to each other. Even when we don't understand, let's pray for each other. Make a phone call. Talk some things out. Work things out. Choose to love them despite differences. Amen? And through it all, we'll be able to say, to God be the glory for all that he has accomplished through many years of the church and this church. You've heard me say this before, but imagine what the community would be like without church. Imagine what this community would be like without this church. The local church is the hope of the world. Has anyone seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? It's a good movie, isn't it? What would life like? It's a glimpse of what would be like, what life would be like without this man working in their community, trying to help people. I think it's a great example that we can all choose and work to help and make a difference. And on this, we can find unity to move things forward, to be the church that God wants us to be. And who is going to get the glory for our accomplishments? You or God? God, that's right. We need to be reflections of the Lord. Now, this takes us to point number three. Pride is about independence and humility is about dependence. Pride says, I know what's best. I don't need God or anyone. Or it says, I want to live the way I want, when I want, or how I want. But humility says, we are dependent on God for love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and compassion and instruction and correction and help. The humble person seeks in no way to be independent, but completely dependent upon the Lord. They acknowledge their dependence on God and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the church. Yes, we are the body of Christ, each individually, but together. Now, when we leave here, are we the body of Christ still? Yes, we are. But not if someone cuts themselves off. If someone says, I can be the body of Christ, but I don't ever have to be around Christians or ever go to church, you're actually not a part of the body of Christ. God has called us together to work together, every part. I don't have my mannequin here today, unfortunately. What was her name? Sarah? Sarah. Sarah didn't show up today. She missed the memo, I guess. Okay. We need to walk the talk, and I want to give some practical steps to begin our day in humility, and this is how we're going to end this service. But in the morning when we wake up, whether it's the first thing we do or even when you're driving to work or just to wherever you're going, there are four quick things that we can do. Four things. One, acknowledge your dependence on God to get you through the day. Say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I lay my will down to do yours. And God, I need your help, right? Every hour I need thee. Psalm 62:1 in the GNT, which is the Good News Translation, I love how what it says, I wait patiently for God to save me. I depend on him alone. Again, we say, Lord, I need your strength, your guidance, your wisdom. Help me be a better spouse or a parent or employee or leader. Help me hear and obey the leading of your Holy Spirit. Humility says, lead me and guide me today. Acknowledging your dependence on God. Number two, express your gratitude to God. Be thankful for what we do have. An ungrateful person is a proud person. Archbishop Michael Ramsey said this, thankfulness is a soil in which pride does not grow easily. Thankfulness. Psalm 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, number three, let go and let God. Now, I don't really like the saying of this, so I want to add this. Rest in the faithfulness of God. And resting in the faithfulness is different than just letting go and letting God, because there needs to be an element of faith of what we're believing God for. It's actually a resting in him. Praying, believing, resting in the Lord, that he is leading us. And humility is acknowledging, saying, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, your cares on him, because he cares for you. And lastly, number four, feed your spirit. Pride says, I don't need or have time for the word of God, I'll be okay. But humility is saying, I need supernatural food for my life to sustain me through each and every day. And through that, we need to listen to scripture more than we listen to ourselves. I read a lot of scripture this morning. Are we walking in this? So this week, I dare you to identify areas in your life where there could be pride. This will set you on track for growth. It will allow you to walk in forgiveness, which allows prayer to work. I want to remind you again that promotion comes from above. God promotes a person. He sees all we do. We need to trust him. Just like the Israelites, it was simply trusting him. That's why they wandered in the desert so long. We don't have time to wander in the desert. We're going to trust the Lord for our kids, for our futures, for this church, yes, for our country. Again, the way up is down. It's through humility. And I end with asking this question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? Let's pray. God, we just come before you again and we humble ourselves. Lord, thank you that you love us. Despite when we do things wrong, the messes we make. Lord, you call us to stand up for things, to seek your wisdom. But you call us to walk things out the right way. And Lord, we know that when your Holy Spirit is leading us to say something or do something, that it does so lifting others up, that it does bring unity despite even differences of opinion. And Lord, I do pray that you would expose truth in this world. And you know what? I think I'd like everyone to stand at this time and let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, this is our prayer this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.